Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Chicago is Pamela Pera. Pamela is the President and Chief Content Officer for CE Companion, and today we're going to be talking about the secrets to an effective investigation. Pamela, first, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you, Adam. I'm delighted to be here.
Delighted to have you. Now, let's talk about investigations. There's a long history of them. People have been doing them the same way for a long time. Does that process still work today, or is it time to look at something else?
Well, before I begin, I just want to mention that because I also work for the federal government, I need to add a little disclaimer saying that these responses are my own and do not represent the views of the federal government or the United States. So having said that, let's get back to your question. So yes, of course, while there is an historical basis for investigation, those approaches that we've used for many years, across centuries, in fact, do still work today. And we've used the same approach to investigate the causes of disease, injuries, accidents, and many other types of investigations. But there are some common themes that we can actually trace all the way back to the nursing process. Assessment, diagnosing, planning, implementation, monitoring, and evaluation have always been the basic steps for a nursing investigation. You know, like when the nurse takes care of you and is trying to figure out what's wrong, what are the causes of your symptoms, and how they can be described to the physician in a way that they can treat you. These principles, these steps, are actually still endorsed by the American Nurses Association today. So that's an example of how something very historical that goes way back is actually still relevant today. And in fact, this method has informed our approach to healthcare risk management investigations and regulatory compliance. And really, this is all thanks to Florence Nightingale, because way back when, she, in fact, was using the same type of investigation we're doing today for the current pandemic, when she concluded that attention to environmental cleanliness was an important factor in preventing the spread of disease. So a couple of examples to just give you the idea that, yes, it still works, and it's all really based on practical common sense.
That's great. I love the history of knowing it goes back that far. Now, what are some of the common things you found to an effective investigation, you know, especially when you're dealing with that, you know, as an investigator, you may be doing it across multiple lines of business?
Sure. It's really important, that aspect of multiple lines of business, because most of us now are probably still involved in some type of comprehensive enterprise risk management program. And therefore, it is critical to consider how our approach is going to impact multiple lines of business across the enterprise. So what we're trying to do is come up with a method or a series of themes that can be applied consistently, and if possible, even standardized throughout the system. And the method that I'd like to suggest is the three P's. And these three P's are three common themes that begin with the letter P. The first one, policies. So one common theme of high importance is matching up your policies, procedures, and protocol with nationally accepted professional standards of practice, as well as regulatory requirements, and not just matching up the policy with the requirements, but also with what you're doing in practice. It's really important, of course, that you have these solid policies, procedures, and protocol, but that you're also following them. So a good investigation will check both aspects, because as we know, healthcare changes rapidly on a daily basis. And we need to make sure that these policies are kept updated So one of the flaws we sometimes find in an investigation is a policy that's outdated, that's not current with our standards, requirements, professional practice. But then we also need to look at our practices and make sure that people are informed about them, about the changes to them. Are they getting educated on a regular basis to keep them up to date and provide the safe practice that we expect? And not only nationally recognized standards, but we also expect to look at local and regional licensing and regulatory statutes, as well as any accreditation standards. If you have multiple standards in front of you for an issue, it is also important to apply the most stringent to your compliance program. So that handles the first theme: policies, procedures, protocol, and practice. The second theme is paper. So documentation is also critical, and it's very important that as you're going through an investigation, it's a good idea to come up with a way to document your findings for the record, for your internal record, or maybe someday you'll have to produce them. But attention to detail, attention to that type of a record will be very useful to you from an internal or external perspective. And also document all corrective actions that were taken and how those corrections have been monitored, any results of any evaluations, changes made as a result of those evaluations. Now, when you're doing an investigation and you're looking for documentation, of course, you might find it in your compliance files from historical types of records, but you can usually also count on risk or quality improvement department records, infection control records, medical staff, and even governing body. You know, we look at the minutes from a lot of different types of meetings that we all know we have across departments within the enterprise. So again, your investigation will be tailored to which sets of documentation you will need. And the other aspect to paper is pictures or photos. So we're keeping the theme of beginning with a P here, but within this theme of paper, you may also need to retain pictures or photos of the scene, signage, and whatever else to memorialize the situation. And finally, the third theme is people. Getting the right people involved in the investigation is important. So just come up with a method of how to gather the right people for the investigation, in whether your choice of tools might be a root cause analysis that you do, a fishbone or Six Sigma, the choice of participants in an investigation. Of course, that might be different depending on the particular investigation, but just make sure that you include this theme as part of every investigation, deciding how you're going to choose who will be involved. Again, it's pretty obvious you're going to include the compliance, risk management, quality improvement staff because they have the investigational skills to participate. But don't forget about your frontline staff. It could be housekeepers, it could be dietary staff, it could be environmental technicians. It just depends on where you're going to be able to find the information that you need. And also you'll need to get supervisors and leadership involved. So it shouldn't matter what method you use, whether it's in the dietary department, housekeeping department, or obstetrics unit. It's better to have one consistent approach to your investigation, keeping it simple with those three themes to start with, because each line of business may cross over to another. For example, you might have dietary issues on the obstetrics unit. And then at least everyone will be speaking the same language if they all know what to expect during an investigation. And don't forget to document the approach you use for your organization in your own investigative policies, procedures, and protocol.
And along those lines, I've got to say, I think this week, the second or third podcast I've recorded, and the theme of document keeps coming up over and over again, especially during these times where so much has been in flux and there's been limitations on what organizations can do. Now, you mentioned there's a lot of other skills sets out there, all have their own standards of care and practice. There's a lot of regulations out there. What, to your perspective, is important in keeping in mind when you're looking at that and the role of regulations and standards when conducting an investigation?
Well, certainly the role of regulations and standards of practice is very important and primary to an effective investigation. And the reason is really is because that's where it starts. You can pretty much revolve a whole investigation around the corresponding regulations and standards of practice for that issue. So in other words, the regulations and standards of practice, those can be your friend, because they will start off by providing to you the guidelines that are accepted by the corresponding industry for the safety of patients, staff, and visitors. But also it offers some financial stability for the organization and also reputation of the organization. And then it helps maintain valued certifications, accreditation, or other designations that might be critical to the viability of the organization. So not only are these regulations and standards of practice really a nice way for you to start, because they just give you automatically these guidelines that are well accepted, but also they're critical. They're critical to the survival of your organization and the satisfaction of your patients and staff. Now, a failure to follow standards of practice and regulations can also dictate the importance of these particular aspects of your investigation, because if they're not followed, they can result in serious injury or death to patients, visitors, staff. They can result in budget-threatening fines or penalties. They can result in unwelcome media attention and even higher insurance premiums. So it really is the responsibility of every organization or business to be familiar with your industry's standards of practice and regulatory requirements, as well as ongoing compliance with those requirements, so that on any given day, if somebody steps into your organization, as they do from day to day, they will see the same level of compliance on any occasion that needs to be identified.
So your comment about reporting out the results is, I think, a good one, because obviously employees look to see what happens. There's a tremendous importance in consistency. And that leads to another question of, how do the results of an investigation become a part of organizational cultures?
Yes, absolutely. It really does start with the board of directors and the governing body. And that's where the culture of transparency begins. No fear, either conducting or responding to an investigation, and an emphasis on improvement, just trying to do the right thing, otherwise known as compliance. So the other key elements that I want to just conclude with is that these responsibilities for an investigation really should be built into your enterprise risk management plan, performance reviews, job descriptions, even your organization's strategic plan, because these investigation results may impact a budget or staffing or other issues. So this also includes regular review and updates, as I mentioned earlier, just to reflect any lessons learned coming out of your investigations.
Well, Pamela, thank you for so many lessons learned here today. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Chittletaub from SCCE and ATCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.